hear further from the word of the Lord about three kinds of sword that are mentioned in the word. By a sword, in all these three cases, is signified truth fighting against falsity, and falsity fighting against truth. But one sword is upon the thigh. Hence, it is combat from love. Another sword is in the hand. Hence, it is combat with power. And the third sword is of the mouth. Hence, it is combat from doctrine. For this reason, the sword proceeding out of the mouth of the Lord is combat from the word against falsities. For the word proceeded out of the mouth of the Lord. And the rest were slain by the sword of him who sat upon the horse. The sword that proceeded out of his mouth signifies that all who have not lived according to the Lord's commandments in the word, which they knew, being judged from the word, perish. By the rest are meant all who have not lived according to the Lord's commandments in the word, which they knew, which are the Ten Commandments, who thus do not shun evils as sins. For they who do not thus shun them are in evils of every kind. For the evils remain fixed in them from birth, and thence from infancy even to the end of life. And they increase daily if they are not removed by actual repentance. Of these it is said that they were slain with the sword of him who sat upon the horse. Amen. Now I'd like to say something to the older children and to the adults about the meaning of a sword in the word. There are many things that represent truth as a sword does in the word, because truth does so many good things for us in our lives and in our minds, and that it comes in different levels too. For example, there's truth that satisfies our thirst to understand and know things, like water satisfies our body's thirst. There's truth that helps us purify ourselves from spiritually sick things that make us unpleasant people to be with, just like water enables us to wash ourselves and be clean and healthy. There's truth that provides a firm foundation for our whole lives, just like rock for building a house on. There's truth that provides landmarks and boundary markers so we know where we're meant to go and where we're not going to go. I'm not going to go there because the Lord says not. That's across my boundary. Truth provides that function for us, just like landmarks in the natural world. And, of course, there's also the light of truth, which helps us see what to do and how to be useful. And then there's the sword of truth that protects us and helps us get rid of the evils that have conquered us, get them out so that we're free again. If we think about some stories in the Word that involve a sword, it can sharpen our picture of what a sword represents. The very first sword in the Word is in the Garden of Eden. After they had eaten from the forbidden fruit, the Lord set the flame of a sword turning this way and that way to guard the way back to the tree of life. This represents how when we're in a bad state and we're not ready to listen and do what the Lord says, the Lord protects us from even seeing what the truth is so we don't spoil it. And then hopefully we will be in a better state later when we can use the truth. Another story is about the evil prophet Balaam. Remember how he was riding along on his donkey and he was thinking to himself, Yehovah has said, he has commanded me not to curse the children of Israel, but I really want the money and the honor of the king of Moab. So how can I get around the Lord's commandment? And so twice his donkey, seeing the angel of the Lord with a drawn sword in his hand standing in the way, went around the angel until he couldn't. Then he just lay down. And when Balaam finally saw the angel in the way, the angel said to him, you hadn't stopped, I would have killed you. The donkey hadn't stopped, I would have killed you. And that shows that If we are deliberately trying to get around something we know that the Lord says, we're walking into our own death, our own spiritual death. Another story about a sword is the story of David when he fought against Goliath. And here's what David said to Goliath. He said to me, then David said, you come to me with a sword and with a spear and with a shield, but I come to you in the name of Yehovah of hosts, the God of the armies of Israel, whom you have defied. This day Yehovah will deliver you into my hand, and I will smite you and take your head from you. And I will give the carcasses of the army of the Philistines this day to the fowls of the air and to the wild beasts of the earth, that all the earth may know that there is a God in Israel. And all this assembly shall know that Yehovah saves, not with sword and spear, for the battle is Yehovah's, and he will give you into our hands." And you might remember how after David had killed Goliath with a stone from his sling, he came and stood over Goliath and drew Goliath's own great big sword and cut off Goliath's head with it. Now Goliath's sword represents merely human intelligence, the intelligence of people who deny the Lord, deny his word, and think they're very smart because they do that. And they can seem like very intimidating, persuasive arguments, like this gigantic enemy. But for people who trust in the Lord, in the end, that kind of argument kills itself. It's killed by its own sword. Another wonderful sword story in the Word is about King Solomon. Once two women came to him with one baby, and they each said the baby was hers. King Solomon said, "Bring me a sword." And they brought a sword. And he said, "Cut the living baby in half and give half the babies to each of the women." And immediately the liar said, "Oh yeah, that sounds good. Then the baby will be neither of ours." But the true mother said, "No, no, give the baby to her." So right away, King Solomon knew who the true mother was and gave the baby to her. He wasn't going to cut the baby in half. The Lord's truth isn't given to hurt people, but to protect people. And the sword found out who was the liar. Another story is the prophecy that's found in Micah and in Isaiah. The Lord prophesies that someday we're going to beat or hammer our swords into plowshares, and we won't have to learn war anymore. That represents a state late in life or in heaven, where we have practiced using the sword of truth so long that it's written on our hearts. We know perfectly well what's true. We don't have to argue about it. No amount of evil spirits can change our minds about what's true. And on the other hand, Joel has the opposite prophecy about beating our plowshares into swords. And that represents that in an earlier stage of our life, there are times when we'd rather be doing something peaceful like plowing and planting, we find we really need the sword of the Lord's truth. For example, maybe there's some confusion in your mind about something to do with marriage. And you really need to go back and see, what does the Lord himself say about this? Not what everybody else is saying. What does the Lord say? So that I can act according to what the Lord says. And you have to fight against all the confusion of falsities in your mind. And the last story in the Word about the sword is the one that we just read in our recitation, where the sword was coming out of the Lord's mouth, and he is called the Word of God. Very clearly, right in the literal sense, you can see that the sword represents the truth that comes from the Lord. So we can see all these things about swords help us picture what is meant by sword spiritually. The interesting thing in the story of Gideon is that when he was telling the soldiers before the battle what their battle cry was going to be, he just said, "Of the Lord and of Gideon." And that's like when we're growing up, we learn lots of truths for all kinds of reasons, just because it's really interesting, or because it's kind of cool to show off a little bit that we know some things. But when the time comes, when we really need the truth in our life, and were ready to use it. Then, at the battle itself, their battle cry was, "The sword of the Lord and of Gideon." Now, what does the Lord give us a sword for? What are we meant to do to have a sword? We have to keep our knowledge of the Lord's word sharp in our minds. We need to keep reading the word and keep coming to church, to classes, read the word, because otherwise our sword gets dull and rusty. We forget. Does the Lord really say that? I'm not sure. And then the evil spirits can twist things around in our minds and lead us to do things that are wrong. But if we know clearly, this is what the Lord says, and there's no question about it, then our sword is sharp. And the Lord gives us the sword especially so that we can become free from the evil spirits who attack us. Sometimes it's our job, our responsibility, our duty to tell someone else about something that they're doing wrong, especially in the case of parents and children. But mostly, the sword is given to us so that we can fight the lies that the evil spirits tell us, that we end up feeling like we're telling ourselves. We can fight through those lies and do what's right. It might even involve telling ourselves, "I have to stop using such cutting words towards someone else." And the wonderful thing is, the more we practice using the sword of the Lord, because it's the Lord's, the more it becomes our sword too. Comes the sword of the Lord and of Gideon. Amen.